Lord. Hey, they gave that Sunday school number 85, and I can sit here and count about 15, 20. I know where they're at today, you know. So praise the Lord, we're doing well. But I always hope that you don't come in here and your worship and praise is affected by numbers. I don't care. It said two or more in my name, and I'll be in their midst, you know. And I just cling to that, you know. I appreciate Leanne coming. Or was it Leon? Where'd she go? I appreciate Leanne coming today, and I appreciate what she said about appreciating her church. She forgot to mention that her dad served this church for many, many years as a servant of God, and that we still reap where he sowed. Amen. Isn't that right? Yeah, we still reap while he sows. And, you know, it seemed like, you know, this pastor comes, that pastor goes, and whatever. It seemed like you were quick to forget them. But don't ever forget the work that these guys, these men did, these men of God that kept this going till this day. We still reap where they sowed. Isn't that a good thought, Karen? I've lost you. Where you at, Karen? Karen wants to say something. Church this morning. And Ginger's going to stand with her. She can't talk, but she's going to give hand signals. Amen. I heard something yesterday. I'm not going to be long on this. Brother Herschel is going to be with the Lord, and we don't need to spend a lot of time dwelling on him. He's all right today. You know, it's us that's got the problems, right? We're still here. But I want to mention this. When his wife Evelyn died, their mother, and as they were loading her in the hearse, Brother Herschel stood at the foot of the hearse and requested that they get things right with God. That they get in church. That they be obedient to the call of the Lord. He got it, didn't he? That's the testimony he gave at that time. And I just wanted to mention that at that time, that's what was on his mind, you know, get in church and be faithful to the Lord. Let's look at some scripture today. I'm glad to be here. I want to talk about leadership of God today. It's an important thing in our life. You know, there's a lot of things that influence us and a lot of things lead us. You know, you can go down, sit and turn the TV on, and they'll try to convince you need to do this, you need to do that. The beer commercials are just unreal, aren't they? You know, they'd make me think sometimes that I'd even want to take part in it, but I know it's of the devil. Amen. I mean, they could make it look so good and so, you know, have y'all ever noticed that? They spend a lot of time, a lot of money. I'm afraid they're spending more than the church is. And we need to tell them about the Savior, you know. And we need to get a message out on our own. So let's talk about leadership of God today. I know there's some times in my life I've kind of doubted. And I thought, well, Lord, show me which way to go. And I'd pray, you know. And I wouldn't get an answer right then. I'm out in the yard at night screaming, God, I'm looking for leadership. Here I am. You forgot me. Y'all don't scream at God, do you? I do sometimes. He created that in us. And I think, you know, sometimes I'm so desperate to get that answer and that leadership, you know. God, I need to know this. And sometimes I get impatient. And we're going to talk about patience a little bit today, too. In Numbers chapter 9, and starting in verse 15, we're going to talk about the leadership that God chose showed to the children of Israel. As they are traveling through, God had a plan for them. God had leadership for them. And I want you to know God's got a plan for your life today. God's got a plan. You know, whether we realize it or not, God's got a plan for your life. God's got a purpose for your life. God's got a plan for leadership in your life that He's going to direct you, that if we'll be open to it, I believe God will direct us in the way, in the path that we should travel as His sons and daughters. So let's talk about leadership. In Numbers chapter 9, verse 15, and on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony, and even there was upon the tabernacle as it were the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. So we're talking about the leadership of God. You know, we've read in Exodus where it was a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And these children of Israel, they just followed the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, and they were always going in the direction that God wanted them to go. Now, it wasn't the shortest route. It wasn't the easiest route, but it's God's plan and God's route. You know, sometimes we want to shortcut a little bit. We want to say, well, I could get there a little easier if I'll just go this way. But when God leads, we need to follow. The leadership of God. So we're seeing here that He would put this cloud over the tabernacle. Now, keep in mind, in verse 17, and when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, where the children of Israel pitched their tent. And so when this cloud picked up and moved, they moved. I like that, don't y'all? That's pretty simple, isn't it? That you come out in the morning, step out of your tent, look around, say, well, the cloud's moved over there. Let's follow it. Let's get under the cloud. Now, that's a pretty good plan of God. I'm going to preach to you in a little while that it's about as simple today to follow the leadership of God as it was to follow this cloud. I believe every morning when we take time to pray and ask God's leadership and guide us for a life, He, through the Holy Spirit, will let us go under the cloud. Now, you think about it. These children come out of their tent, hear the cloud. Oh, the cloud's moved over here. Let's get under it. They wanted to follow the leadership of God. Now, we're going to talk about the benefits of following God in a little while, too. In verse 18, at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. As long as the cloud's here, they're good. They just stay in their tents and rest. The cloud's over. So it didn't move. We don't have to move. In verse 21, and it was so when the cloud abode from evening unto morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, that they journeyed. Whether it was by day or night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. When the cloud moved, they moved. If the cloud stayed still, they stayed still. Now, there's a lot in that for us to learn as sons and daughters of God, as Christians today, that if God don't go, we don't go. If God's not in it, we don't do it. Amen? And then we just got to seek the leadership. He was going to bless these children of Israel. They were going to a promised land. They were going to a land beyond compare, beyond their imaginations and thoughts. And I want you to understand, though, that they only moved when God moved. That's what I'd preach to everybody. You move when God moves. And until that time, just keep your tent pitched. I hear a lot of people that get so, impatient. Now, I'm not a very patient person. I usually want it, and I want it now. But that's not always the way God works in this situation. I spoke a minute ago, Brother Lee sowed seed. We're still reaping from it. That's been years down the road. But you think that's a problem with God? No. In verse 21, and it was so when the cloud abode from even unto morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, that they journeyed. Whether it was by day or night, the cloud was taken up, and they journeyed. Now, verse 22. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle remaining there, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not, but when it was taken up, they journeyed. Whether it was a day, 2 days, a month, or a year. Can you think about that situation? This cloud may have stayed still for a year. They stayed in their tents. God didn't go, they don't go. And I began to think about how they had to have patience and wait on God. There's times in our life that we need patience to wait on God. I don't believe all that's going to happen at New Salem has happened yet. Amen. I believe we're going to reap from the seed that's being sowed now and the seed being sowed before time. I believe there's going to be a reaping. I believe there's going to be a harvest. I can see a participation coming out by people that's ready to reap what has been sowed. But we have to have patience. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." You think because God held these children of Israel a year in their tent, it meant anything to him? A day means nothing to God. A month means nothing. A year means nothing. It's just when you're eternal, what does it matter? But I thought about the patience that he's showing us through this. He said, if this cloud stayed for a year, they stayed a year. This cloud stayed 2 days, they stayed 2 days. This cloud moved every day, they moved every day. It's about following the leadership of God. That's why we'd preach today, that there's blessings in following and complying to the leadership of God. I believe God has a blessing for somebody here today. I just wonder if you'd be willing to receive it, if you got patience to wait on it. If they came over here and drawed a mark in this church and said, this is a miracle line, how many of you would get in it? You think about it. They come down here, and this is a miracle line. How many would be standing in line, patient, say, I want my miracle. Amen. Well, there's a line here. There's a miracle here. All we need to do is get in line and be patient, and God will get to you. You know, miracle lines. May draw one to the parking lot. This is a miracle line. They're already out there. Those parking spaces, that's miracle lines. Get in line. Park in the lines. Come in. Get a miracle. Get a blessing. Let's talk about miracles and blessings just for a few minutes. Turn with me, if you will. 2 Kings in chapter 5. I want to show you a miracle. I want to show you a blessing. I want to show you what God's got in store for his children. He can do things that you can't do. He can take care of situations that we can't even consider how to take care of. A miracle line is forming. I believe we got a miracle line for me. We need some folks in the line saying, I need one of those miracles. I'll take one. Y'all ever been to the ball game? Man come by selling a hot dog. Hey, I'll take one. He'll just throw it to you. Right? Y'all ever done that? It's an amazing thing. God's got more miracles than that man's got hot dogs. Woo! And they're fully loaded, too. The way I like them, it won't be dry, and it won't be plain. You know, we go to the ball game, yeah, I'll take one. That man just throws it about across 4 or 5 people. And I got to think about God throwing a miracle. It might go across 4 or 5 people if you're not asking for one. You know why it got across them? Because they didn't stick their hand up. You know, you could have intercepted that thing. You know, it might be going over to this man, but if you'd have stick your hand up, if you could have intercepted that hot dog, you could intercept a miracle here today. There's miracles of God taking place every day at New Salem Baptist Church. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, and he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." You know, you read all this thing and go through all this verse, and you think, man, what a great guy. Oh, yeah, but it says down at the bottom, but he was a leper. So we find that he had a problem also, although he was all these other things. He had a problem in his life. This is a man that needed a miracle. Now, if you went down and asked this leper about the miracle line, he'd be in it. I guarantee you he'd be in the miracle line. You know, yeah, I'm going to need one of those because leprosy can't be cured by anything except the touch of God. And so he decided, all right, I need to get in that miracle line today. And it talks about, but he was a leper. In verse 2, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Brother Don was teaching today about how God used people to share the word of God. Here's a little maid. Here's a little slave. She's down there in bondage. All of a sudden she said, if he is down in my country, down in Samaria, said the man of God would heal him from that. Now I'm telling you, you talk about a testimony. She said, I got faith and confidence in God. I may not be much here, but my God's everything. And so she told us, if you go down there, Verse 4, and one went in and told the Lord, say, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Did you notice a problem right here? That the king of Syria sent him down to the king of Israel. Now, the little maid didn't say, go to the king of Israel. She knew the politics and the politicians couldn't handle. She knew government couldn't take care of this leper. She's told him to go down to the prophet. And so he's found a little bit of a problem right here, but they're going to get it straightened out. But I have that understanding. Now, the way he left and the way he was traveling, you see what he had? He had with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. I can tell by the way he's traveling, he went to go down and buy a miracle. He had in his mind, I'm going to go down there and buy the blessing of God. I'm going to buy me a miracle. Well, understand, you can't buy blessings and you can't buy a miracle. They're gifts of God. We're too poor to buy it and God's too rich to sell it. Isn't that just a pretty good attitude toward that? Yeah, we're too poor to buy it and God's too rich to sell it. It's going to be a gift. If you get a miracle today, it's going to be a gift. It's not going to require you to pay anything or render anything. It's going to be a gift from God. And so here goes the man down in verse 6, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send to me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore, I pray thee, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And so the king just stressed out, rent his clothes. He said, I can't cure leprosy. I don't have any power over this disease. Why is this king sending him down to me? I can't help him. Government is not always the healing factor, is it? We know that, don't we? And if you place all your trust in the government, it's going to fall one day. If you'll place your trust in Jesus Christ and God, it'll never fall. That needs to be our government. That needs to be our source of power. Verse 8, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come down to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. Did y'all see how simple this was with him? He wasn't worried. He heard the king rent his clothes. He said, just send him down to me. He said, he's going to know that there's a prophet in Israel. He's going to see the power of God. King, you can't handle it? Send him down to me. Now, I was going to preach about second stops. I think I'll pass that day. I'll preach second stops another day. But I want you to think about this very plain and very easy. If you went everywhere else before you went to God, you've made a mistake already. If you run to the telephone before you run to the throne of God, you've already made a mistake. Now, God may take care of it for you, and God may choose not to. He said, well, he chose me second or third. Used to choose up to play ball. I always hated to be the last one, didn't you? Amen. Hurt my feelings. It did. Didn't hurt y'all's feelings to be third, fourth, fifth down the line? I've had people call me and say, well, we need you to help the funeral. We've called so-and-so, 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 and so-and-so, and this and that. There ain't nobody left but you. Come on. How do you think it makes God feel? How do you think God feels when we put him second or third or fourth down the list? We'll get on the telephone. We'll call everybody we know. We'll tell them about the problem. I'm going to tell you, take that right down to the throne of God and tell God about it. And then if he leads you, call somebody. Amen. If he don't, stay quiet about it. He's already handled it. It'd be bad that you take it to the throne of God. God settles it this quick, and you call somebody, tell them about the problem. It's already solved. It's already took care of. It's healed. It's finished. Verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. This is the most amazing thing that I've ever saw in my life. Here comes Naaman down, his chariot, all his horses, all his congregation, all his silver, his gold, his raiment changing, and he comes down, and I tell you, Elisha didn't even take time to walk out there. He just sent a servant, said, go tell him to wash in the river Jordan 7 times. Don't that sound too easy? You know, we get into that sometimes with our salvation. People tell me, I don't believe it could be that easy. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I believe it. I believe it, but somebody's hunting something hard, something that requires them to do. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ did mine on the cross of Calvary. And if I'll believe on that, you know, we can be saved by it. In verse 11, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his Lord, his God, and strike the hand over the place and recover the leper. He went down for a ceremony. Amen. He had in mind, I'm going to go down there. They're going to make a big ceremony. We're going to have a feast. We're going to have music. We're going to have singing. We're going to have dancing. He's going to come out there, put his hand on that place, and recover. Now, that's the way he thought the miracle would come. Understand something. God's ways are not our ways. His mind is much higher than our mind. And so he didn't understand that God was going to work a miracle, but it wasn't going to be his way. It's going to be God's way. There's times that we hunt too much ceremony. We hunt too much a party and everything. Sometimes God does it easily, right? Still small voice. Y'all ever heard of that? He wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the wind. But it's still small voice. In verse 12, are not Abana and far rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. Here is a man that was so set on a celebration. Here is a man that was so set on using what he already had, the Abana River and the far river, that he was almost to miss the miracle of God. I believe that still takes effect today. That we say, okay, God, I want a miracle, but I want it this way, and I'm going to use this, and I'm going to use that to get me that miracle. God gives miracles when God chooses, and the place where God places. So he went away in a rage. Verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? But how much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean. It's such a simple process, isn't it? He just couldn't believe or couldn't see how that could work. I believe we miss a lot of miracles today because we can't believe that could work. We just can't comprehend how this little thing could take care of that. Amen? If it's just a touch, the finger of God, that'll heal it, right? He don't have to lay his hand on it. But we have this problem in our Christian lives today that we want some great thing. We want some big celebration. We want some big hoorah. Don't always happen like that. Verse 14, then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. Now stop right there and everybody look up. Obedient to the call and the movement and the direction of God. He goes down in this muddy Jordan. He's got two rivers better than it probably. But I could never think and stop thinking about I could see him in that river. I'd see the congregation sitting around on the bank watching. Some of them were believers. This servant that persuaded him to go, he believed it worked. He believed. There are some others probably standing there that's probably not believers. They didn't know if it's going to work or not, but they're going to watch for the see how it comes out. And this Naaman down there, and he goes down once, and comes up. Still leprosy. He goes down a second time. He comes up. Still leprosy. He goes 3, 4, and 5. Still leprosy. Nothing changing. He can't tell any difference whatsoever. The leprosy didn't go away in a process. It went away immediately. It's the way it's going to go away. It wasn't a process. God didn't do a little down, a little bit down, a little bit. But when he dipped, you know, he'd been down 5 times. He's coming up. He's still looking at himself. He's still leprosy. This servant standing on the bank, he still had faith. He still had confidence. He said, I believe it's going to work. I believe it's going to work. Naaman walked out of the river. Came walking out of the river mad at God because it hadn't worked. Is that what y'all read? Uh-oh. Did I get that wrong? Or is that the way we do in our Christian lives? We walk out of the river before God's finished. Oh, yeah, we've been down 5 times. Oh, we've been down 6 times. I don't believe it's going to work. Just give it up. And we walk out of the river before the miracle's finished. There's too many Christians walk out of the river too quick. God said 7. He didn't say 5. He didn't say 6. God said 7. There'll be some of you sitting here today. You might have been dipped 6 times, and one more is going to get you the miracle, but you give up confidence and faith in God. I'm gonna persuade you. Wade in and get dipped that 7. See what happens. He dipped that 7th time and came up clean. Spotless, clean, received the miracle of God. He had been through the miracle line. He received this miracle of God. He's no longer leprous. But you have to remember that he was obedient to what God asked him to do. I believe we got people in this congregation today that's just one step away from a miracle, and you've stopped. Well, I've been walking this long. I ain't saw nothing yet. I guess I'll just stop. I guess I'll just stand still where I'm at. And God's saying, take one more step. Take that step to follow me, and I'll show you a miracle in your life. I'll show you a blessing among blessings that you've never saw and never understood before. Don't stop. Show it. Of the miracle and blessing of God. You think about it. God's sending a message here to somebody today that you've stopped one step short of where you need to be to receive the miracle. What if you had stood in this miracle line, got right up next to you, and you decided, well, I've waited too long, I'm quitting. Be like our food line down here yesterday, wouldn't it? You get right up to the table and just turn away. You'll go away hungry. You'll go away undernourished. And I'd go away sad. I don't know about y'all, but if it got me right at the table line, I had to turn around. I mean, it'd just break my heart, wouldn't it? But the comparison that we're showing, God said 7 with Naaman, and it worked. If you've been 6 and need to go that 7th, I'm promoting you today, make the 7th. Or if you've been walking the path that God's directed and you're expecting a miracle, but some way you've got a little disillusioned, you've got a little bit sidetracked, say, I don't believe God's going to do it, I just give up. Don't ever give up on God. Don't ever give up on God. Let's have a verse for song. Everybody, if you would, stand to your feet. Got miracles coming. Somebody needs to get in the miracle line. What would it take for you to receive a miracle today? I don't know. I don't know what it takes for you to receive a miracle, but I know God's got one for you. Whether it be to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's the first step you'll make. Or whether it be join the church, it may be rededicate your life, it may be just come up and say, I've stopped short of my miracle and I'm coming to get it. I'm claiming it in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm claiming that miracle. I'm claiming that blessing of God. I'm not going to stop short. I've been hesitating, but I'm going to make the next step. I'm going to make the 7th dip and see how God comes through. All right, somebody need to come, just come on. We're going to do one more verse, and that should be sufficient. But I want you to know, I in my mind, I can just see a miracle line forming. I just see them lined up. Think I'm going that step, and I'm taking that 7th dip. I'm getting what God's got for me. I guess I was right. God's mind and my mind's not the same, is it? It's about God. You can't do it for me. You're going to have to do it for God. That's it. But in my mind, I can see people moving. I can see miracles coming down. I can see blessings just bestowed upon us because somebody made that step. They've been holding, they've been refrained, they've been set back. Maybe the devil's in front of you. Step around him. You know, he's not moving. Step around him. Just step around him. He can't come and approach this altar. Just step around him. One more. Thank you. just let her play. Let her finish praying. Let her play. Just let her play. Just let her continue to play, and that'll be fine. Let her get through praying. That's one thing. We may quit, but he don't. You know, we may give up, but he don't. He'll make every step. He won't quit showing. Amen. Good to see everybody come this way today. Pray about it. If you can, come back tonight. Be with us. I plan to have church. I don't know what y'all plan to do. I plan to have church, you know. And I mentioned Leanne, and I guess I shouldn't have done this, but I miss Linda. Miss Linda. There she is. I couldn't see her behind Joseph then, but that was Brother Lee's wife. And we are glad they've come this way to help us out. We appreciate you, Leanne. Thank you very much. Hope you feel like you've been to church. Amen. Amen. That's what it's about, isn't it? All right, anything, any word before we dismiss?